Okay, it's a steering committee. We're back. Tried to do this a couple nights ago, but the whiskey got in the way, so we decided we'll do a whole new episode.
Yeah, I think the whiskey, the beer, a little bit got in the way. So yeah.
That happens. That happens. Yeah. But
I turned into drunk uncle who was too drunk.
There's a fine line between sparking the art, I think, and so we're back, and we wanted to talk about SEMA. That's the big thing. I think the big story for us was getting to SEMA.
Well, it wasn't as easy as it could have been. That's for sure.
Yeah, thank you, American Airlines. You can suck it.
We were amongst the 1,900 people who were or
1,900 flights that were canceled. And I love the whole time they talked about it. It was mechanical. It was weather, and of course, it was everything.
The guy who has to come and tell everybody in line what to do. He's like, really sorry, we're dealing with some weather issues here.
Was that the guy that was handing out the little cards that I thought were some sort of vouchers, but they were just cards that had the 800 number?
Yes, it was.
I don't want to dwell on American Airlines, but, you know, if I can help it, I certainly won't travel on American again. And I've been a pretty loyal customer for a long time. But we should probably say a little bit about what happened. We flew out on Monday night. SEMA began on Tuesday in Vegas. We're in Denver. Because when we were planning this thing, I refused to fly on, was it Spirit Airlines?
You kind of instructed me not to book Frontier because those guys always cancel.
Yeah, those guys are never on time.
That was your theory there.
And apparently, if you want to fly direct from Denver to Vegas, it's I think either, what was it, Spirit, Frontier, or Southwest. And at the time when we were booking these tickets, Southwest was having their own issues. And so we thought, well, American Airlines, you know, that's the safe bet. And
blue chip American company, never going to let you down.
You know, the last time we flew American, we got a little bump up to first class. You know, we couldn't have had an experience further from that this time. And because there was no direct flight on American, we were going to fly to Phoenix. And then, you know, 40 minutes later, in theory, then you hop in the other plane. And at the end, you're still saving a lot of time, say, over driving or whatever. But we get to Phoenix. I think I ran out to use the bathroom. First thing I saw in the bathroom was a large man who dropped trowel at the urinal. Welcome to Phoenix. I came back. You were talking to a pilot. And by the time I came back and sort of was about to sit down, he said, gentlemen, I think your flight to Vegas has been canceled.
Yeah.
Well, it was almost like this sigh, what do you want to call it? The whole crowd,
the whole terminal
sort of like let out this.
Yeah, because I think at that point too, it wasn't just our flight. A bunch of
flights
to different cities all got
canceled.
And
so, what do you do first? Do you try to get your baggage? Do you try to get another flight? Do you try to get a hotel room or a rental car? It was just like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. That scene where they're stuck in Wichita, right?
Yeah.
And you know nothing against Phoenix.
The customer service line was just immediately around the corner to the next terminal.
So people were telling us contradictory instructions. I mean, it was pretty obvious.
No one
seemed to, two people that were actually, I think everyone else was hiding out in the break room or something. There was no one there to help. I quickly got on my phone and I've apparently been downloading so much on my phone lately that my data was throttled. So it was like 56K. I'm trying to go to the big three rental companies.
See, that was your mistake.
That was my mistake.
Yeah, because they were all gone, right? They were gone pretty quickly.
Well, just like John Candy's character in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, you were quick on your feet.
I was thinking I went down to the bottom list and started from there. And Thrifty Car Rental.
Thrifty Car Rental came through. I swear it was the stinkiest rental car I've ever been in. Doug didn't seem to notice, but it did have about 50,000 hard miles. But you got it, and it got us there. We drove through the night to Vegas after waiting for our luggage for 6 hours, but that's another story.
Yeah, that was frustrating.
Dodging coyotes.
We had the truck, we had the car, and we could have been on the road at 9 o'clock, and we had to wait another, 4 hours for the luggage to show up.
Something like that, because one person said, you know, it'll come down. Another person said, well, you have to put in a request if you are not going to take the next flight, which we couldn't do because the flight they were offering was 2 days later.
Yeah.
I think that the flight they were offering you, because you were flying back a day earlier, was after your return flight.
Wasn't after, but I would be getting in late on Tuesday and then leaving again on Wednesday.
Absolute insanity.
It was like, well, what am I doing here? And you were going to arrive after I arrived.
It was insane. So Doug here saved the day with this Thrifty rental Kia and paid a pretty penny for it. So thank you. But if you've never made this trip, and I haven't, I don't think you have, if you've ever driven from Phoenix to Vegas through the night. Mm-hmm. It's for the most part a 2-lane road.
Yeah.
It's basically you and some big trucks doing about 80 miles an hour in the other direction, you know.
Well, and some coyotes.
I think we saw some sort of wild chickens or something. It was just
giant rabbits.
Yeah. The scary part is I don't remember half of it, but we both stayed away to keep the other awake.
That's scary because you drove a big chunk of it.
Well, and we were trying to stop for coffee. So we would grab these, the Starbucks iced espresso. Well, yeah,
I recommended the Starbucks double shots first, but these were the cold brew.
They seemed to have no caffeine in them whatsoever.
Yeah, it didn't seem to do anything for me.
So when we get into town, about 6:30.
Yeah.
We stayed
just as the sun was coming up, basically.
Yeah. So we kind of came down, the hill or the mountain or whatever into Vegas and saw the lights, and that was kind of cool. I mean, we were so tired. But we got there, we stayed at the Courtyard by Marriott, which is literally across the street from the convention center in Las Vegas, which is why we
booked it. Perfect. I mean, across the way from the bigger of the two parking lots they have there at the conference center.
No one tells you is in that bigger of the two parking lots from 8 a.m. to about midnight every day. There is constant drifting.
Yeah.
which is awesome for five minutes.
We were also downwind of it too, apparently. We were near the one that was
I think it was the Toyo Tires.
Yeah, it was Toyo Tires, it was RTR, and like Ford. It was a big Ford drifting center. And yeah, it was like, out there with, GT500 Mustangs just great, burning it up.
It was almost 24/7 and we hadn't slept in 2 days. But that first day, I mean, first time I've been there, first time you've been there, it's just a massive... we were using this catchphrase so much, SEMA, right? Like, because it was just everywhere. It was just
SEMA everywhere.
People everywhere. I think it's in like five pavilions, five halls.
Yeah. Five gigantic halls.
And we didn't really, just being first timers, didn't really understand sort of how this thing was put together. And so we spent a lot of time walking through giant pavilions of, body shop equipment and.
Yeah. We were trying to find a specific booth. We were trying to find our friends over at Swiss Tracks.
Thank you, Swiss Tracks, for the credentials.
Yeah, we wanted to go over and thank them and just sort of say hi. And
it's the last building we checked.
It kind of was. I mean, they had a booth number and they have a map, but there wasn't really a way to quickly figure out what number was in what hall. So we are two college graduates
here, and we couldn't.
At some point, we did a giant lap through the. I think it would be like the detailing slash body shop.
Oh yeah,
sort of like wing where it's like you're walking by all these people with like new types of sandpaper to like
which
sand
is
down,
great,
suit new equipment to like take into the body shop, that kind of thing.
I just didn't feel qualified being in most of these buildings, honestly. But in the midst of trying to find Swiss Tracks, we did have the pleasure, if you want to call it, of riding the Tesla Loop, which is kind of, it's interesting. It is called the Boring Company. That's the joke. There's not much to see. I mean, you're underground. Yeah. You basically are.
It's not the joke. That's what they call it. The company that does the tunnels.
Well, it's called the Boring Company. And it was kind of boring, but it was, we got to do it. It was cool.
Yeah.
I guess what struck me is, you sort of take an escalator down. Well, no, we didn't even take an escalator down. They pick you up in the car above
and then you go down a tunnel.
Right. There are some stops, I think, along the way.
Some of the other big halls have like a subway stop underneath. So then you would just take an elevator.
I think we're the last car podcasters to have ridden this thing or to have experienced this, but it was still cool to me. It was a novelty, I think, to you too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think what I thought was funny was the walls, the ceiling were covered with this sort of fake cavern sort of, like, you ever play miniature golf and they'll have like a cave and it's sort of this fake cave.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. And then they had these purple lights. It was sort of like being underwater, but it was cool. It was kind of surreal.
It got us from
one end of the, the convention center to the other. Of course the driver soliciting a tip the whole time.
it wasn't too subtle about that.
It was cool. And eventually,
The tip we gave him was, you should listen to the steering committee. It's a great podcast.
Yes, that's right. Well, fortunately, one of us had cash on him. I mean, it wasn't me. We eventually found the central pavilion or the main pavilion. And that's really where all the manufacturers that we're more familiar with, the mainstream manufacturers and then some. And that really for us was where the magic was. You mentioned, Ford must have been the headline sponsor, Ford stuff everywhere, which is cool.
Ford had at least three large, marquee levels. Displays. Yeah, they had giant posters on the outsides of the convention center sponsoring it.
It was definitely a Ford thing, but they had a killer exhibit there. So this is the Specialty Equipment Manufacturers Association, I think is what SEMA stands for. So
yeah,
it's really in I don't know, it's an aftermarket show, right? So there are some new car announcements and stuff, but really it's special editions. You know, Ford had a big exhibit.
Yeah, it's
a ton of Broncos.
Well, that's what I say. We speculated as to what would be the sort of the car of the year there at the show. Yeah. It was definitely the Bronco.
Yeah.
We saw so many different modified Broncos. Well,
we also talked about the 86, and we saw a few, you know, of the new 86, but it was really the Bronco.
In my quick head, there was like 20 Broncos for every one 86, even.
And Ford. Ford obviously had a ton of them. You know, there was a fire engine one. There was a surfing one.
Yeah.
I bumped into Magnus Walker, who was taking pictures tourist like the rest of us there.
Yeah, he was just walking around like an average guy. And, yeah. And there was an overlanding section and, you know, Ford
that
Broncos
was a big
were all
theme
over there.
This
yeah,
year, so overlanding.
And a lot in fact, of big overlanding sort of rig setups.
So, yeah, shout out to, it's Earth Roamer, right? I'm getting that name correct.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, that's not Ford, but yeah, that's Earth Roamer.
That was one of the first, walk in.
They had that big Mitsubishi Fuso rig there that's done up as like a
shout
a
out to our friends at Mitsubishi Fuso. I know they follow us. Shout out to our friend RJ over there.
Yeah, that thing looked impressive.
Yeah, and apparently this company Earth Roamer is a Colorado company, which I didn't know. Docano or Docano, Illinois, Colorado. I'm not exactly sure what that is. I know I've been through there, and they like the the post. But back to Ford. Yeah, they had a huge, probably the premier display there, right?
Yeah. So when you said like it's all about the aftermarket. So the manufacturer that do have a big presence there are for if it's a car that's well known to be something that people like to modify, people like to add things to. So there are lots of Jeeps there too.
Yeah,
there are lots of
Toyota had a great
had a big display there. Between and in some ways what's kind of becoming the darling on social media was that Tacozilla Tacoma again camper that they had
sort of throwback '70s vibes.
Yeah, sort of like a cream color but with an orange, yellow, and brown stripes on it. So
yeah, and those and these retro colors were on a lot of things. So there's definitely an overland thing going on right now. Mm-hmm. There is definitely a. And I'm sorry, I'm just looking at the clock. I just replaced the battery in that thing. This afternoon's already stopped again. So it is not 6:15. Uh-huh.
I'm so glad you pointed that out.
Well, it's a very highly important we have a...
I thought it might be 6:15, so I'm glad you said that. So yeah.
I'm just trying to keep tabs on where we are here.
Okay.
Toyota retro themes, that was sort of an overreaching thing. The overlanding, a lot of... I don't know. A lot of Broncos. I mean, the Broncos were everywhere.
Broncos were everywhere.
A lot of big wheels on cars. I mean,
A lot of overlanding Broncos. A lot of like off-road racing style Broncos.
Yep. It was kind of
beefed up,
kind of overwhelming. Like you didn't always know who was exhibiting what. They were like, we've talked about cars, trucks just parked like everywhere.
Well, there's that too. So, I mean, there was, and so with the Broncos, just sticking on that for a second, it wasn't just at the Ford, official Ford displays. It would be, if there was a company that was selling something like aftermarket windshield wipers, they would have a tricked out Bronco that you could enter to win, and it was there and it was completely, done up.
But what else
was
there?
It was just like that. Yeah.
Dudes. A lot of dudes.
Oh, well, yeah, sure.
But it was actually, it was more diverse than I probably expected.
That's the car world
in
general. No, I mean, are you surprised by this?
I mean, there was just like, you could sort of see the Axe body spray cloud, rising up above the building. But but everyone was cool, not everyone kept their masks on, but everyone was cool. Everyone was friendly.
Yeah. I saw some other car celebrities while we were there. We saw Magnus. I saw Ant Anstead.
Yeah. He liked to post. He had a really cool car there with, I'm going to get this guy's name wrong. Is it Dan Scott?
Scott. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the Property Brother guys.
Yeah. Which I guess I've seen the show. I didn't know he was a car guy.
I didn't know that either. Yeah.
So it's this electric roadster that he did with Ant Anstead. And I guess Ant was the builder. And I think that Dan was the, what do you want to call it? The commissioner?
The patron.
Yeah, the patron to Ant's Medici family. No, yeah. But it was beautiful. It was this, that's another, and it was done in this beautiful sort of mint green, and that was another theme. Saw a lot of cars and sort of this soft pastel pastel mint green. And this
I learned something about you, that you like this mint green.
I do. Well, there was a Volkswagen Transporter. It was like I don't know what year that was, a 62 or 64. It was absolutely gorgeous. That whole backstory about how many times it's been stolen because it's just such an in-demand car. But you talked with quite a while, talked for quite a while with a cool guy in the Porsche world.
So
Mr. Lufka Colt himself.
Yeah, I was walking by the Haggerty booth and they had Patrick Long there to talk to fans, and no one was in line. there was one person in front. He talked for a little while.
I got a good
10 or 15 minutes talking to Patrick Long.
We
talked about Porsches in general. I mentioned that we had seen
he's a handsome fellow.
Well, yeah. It's we talked about the sort of mini display at the Peterson. Uh-huh. That was through him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, and what were, you know, and he was like, you know, I was telling him it was gorgeous and we had a great time in there. He said, you know, I wish it was a little too bright in there and that maybe they, you know, kind of washed some of the cars out.
Oh, interesting.
And I said, you know, the white cars were maybe a little bit, but like the color, the AJ Foyt car and the Miller Genuine Draft, the Rothmans car, those things really popped there.
Well, so, I think Peterson does such a great job about their displays and they get the color temperature right and all that. But these were really sort of in a storage room. I mean, they were in a vault within the vault, basically.
Yeah, and I mean, so to it say it's quite... a storage room doesn't, I mean, it was nice cement floors with nice white walls. So it's almost like a gallery.
It was
like a gallery,
but it wasn't.
But you're right. It doesn't have any natural light. It's because it's in the basement. It wasn't necessarily designed. It probably is used as a storage room most of the time.
And that was such a treat. And I mean, we can talk, we can do five more shows about the Peterson and we'll eventually go back when they turn over the exhibits and all that. But very cool. You know, and we got to say a quick hello to our friends at the Smoking Tire, Zach and Matt.
Zach and Matt, they were there.
Zach was felt for him. Apparently there was a really bad Wi-Fi signal. They were going to go on live. He was, he was trying to get everything together but didn't want to bother them too much, but it was cool to see them. They're at the Valvoline booth
I think they did a couple shows live from the show. So
And of course we didn't even end up recording there. We should make that clear because by the time we got the equipment, by the time we got into town and then you had to leave and we were exhausted after that first day, it didn't happen. We hung out a little bit at the Swiss Tracks booth, but we did leave some t-shirts. So if you missed us there, hopefully you got a t-shirt if you stopped by, we'll talk some more in the next segment. Why don't we'll take a quick
pause and we'll come back. Good. So in the first part of the show, we talked about our general impressions and just the scene, you know, as a whole. But
so much of everything.
So much of everything. I tried to do as much as I could in one day on no sleep, basically.
Out a couple hours after I retired to the hotel room.
That might have been the right. That might have been the move to make, though, is to go back and take a nap. But I just kept going. I just watched. I looked at everything I could. So favorite cars. For me, clearly, it was the GR86 at the Toyota display.
We had not seen one in person.
No.
We didn't get a press car or anything like that. So this is the first time we saw one in the flesh.
That's right. And it was nice because it was actually one you could actually get in and sit in, which was nice too.
I mean, there weren't a ton of them though. I think the only two, we saw two, right? And one Toyota had and the other was an aftermarket company.
The other one was
right-hand drive.
The other one was a BRZ. It was heavily modified though, and you couldn't get inside it, and it was the interior was all stripped.
You could
out
get in the one. In the
you could sit. You could sit in the Toyota one, which is nice. And
it's kind of a guard's red color.
Yeah,
maybe not its best shade.
A little bit, It's that's like a Toyota red. The Subaru has more of a almost like a more muted red as one of their color options. Okay. So.
But we both liked it. I mean,
it's
we
a
liked
good look.
How
it's a
it looked
good looking
on the outside.
Car. It's like it's striking. It's got good presence. It's it sitting. Does. It was sitting there next to a Supra, which is theoretically the more exotic of the two Toyota sports cars. But
I feel like it held twice its own. The price too, isn't it?
Yeah,
not quite twice, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, it held
its
own.
It's so exotic. It's built in Germany. It's very
exotic.
Right.
That's how exotic it is. But we'll come back to the Supra because there was a particular Supra I really liked too. But back to the 86.
Oh, yeah. But it held up well against that car, I think. Okay. And you liked you sat inside it and you liked it.
I was most. So it was interesting. I wanted to sort of see how it compared. I think you said someone in the car sphere said it was basically like if Porsche made a $32,000 sports car, this would probably be pretty close. Mm-hmm. I didn't
absolutely. Jason Camisa.
He generally knows what he's talking about. I generally agree with that. I mean, it doesn't look like a Porsche or anything like that. It's front engine. I didn't I didn't love the color, and I had a tough time getting past the color that they had. I think it didn't really show off the lines. I did like the exterior, but I really liked the interior. And usually that's not the case. Usually I'm in love with the exterior and I'm disappointed by the interior. I want to sort of see how it compared to, say, my GT4 or Cayman and just how it fit. I think it's a little smaller, which is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Seat was a little tighter, the bolstering, you know, kind of on your ass, a little tighter. Mm-hmm. I think a little less glass. You know, some hard plastic, but you know what? My GT4 has hard plastic. It was almost the same level of quality, which I was really impressed with. There's some touches of Alcantara on the instrument binnacle, which I thought was really nice. I like the small steering wheel. Everything felt, I mean, the way things felt to hand, it was very similar to, say, a Cayman.
Yeah, I'd say that I've sat in a lot of the previous generation BRZs.
Oh, it's big upgrade.
All different trim levels. This is a big step up.
Yeah, those we have driven, those we have spent time in, and this really felt like an upscale car.
It did. So I think it provides great value at the GR86s, I think, are in the 28 range up to, you know, 30,000, 31,000. BRZs in the same, you know, 29 to 32. And again,
the BRZ is the Subaru. So, it's the GR86 for Gazoo or Gazoo Racing, right? So it's a little different of a name.
We
went back and forth. RJ says it's just Gazoo.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So our man in Japan, but
I'll believe that I believe he's fluent in Japanese. So I'll take that.
We've talked about some detail changes, but fundamentally they are the same cars, and the changes aren't just cosmetic, right? There's some tuning, suspension changes.
There's some slight suspension differences. Yeah. And more or less what it is the GR86 is set up to be a little bit more, I guess, playful, a little bit more fun, a little tail happy, as they say.
We're talking maybe 5%.
It's negligible. I mean, guys who are experts at driving these cars say they can hardly tell the difference. So,
All right. So we both liked it. We both liked what we saw. Mm-hmm. You spent a lot of time with it. You ended up talking to people who had owned the first generation, do own the first generation. There was one guy who had a Cayman who was interested in maybe picking this up.
He had a previous one, and then he had a Cayman, and now he had a new BRZ on order. It was coming in January, he said. So
it's amazing because, the Super's been out for a while and all that, but this was the car that was getting all the attention. I think because it is, for a lot of people, somewhat accessible. Mm-hmm. You know, so many cars, you know, I mean, aren't, right? And this was a cool, exciting car that, you know, a lot of people can buy or will be able to buy, and it really has an appeal.
It's highly you can definitely modify it very easily. There's a big market for it, entire companies devoted to it, and in some ways this is like what a SEMA car is. And I think just because of the timing of when they're becoming available, I think that's why we didn't see more of them there.
Well, that's it, exactly. Yeah. I think we would have seen 100 of them. If we were to go next year,
I bet we'd see a lot.
And we
of
will.
Them,
so. We should make this into it. Yeah. It was funny. By the time I got home, like, I don't need to go again next year. I'm exhausted. I'm overwhelmed. But I'm already looking forward to going back.
I think so.
I mean, we need to maybe cast in a little further and do some other things too, but I really enjoyed it. Next year, I'll know what to look for.
Next year, we're going to fly direct too.
Oh, that or just walk. I don't know. But Toyota.
Overland there. That's what we'll do. Yeah. Right. That'll get us there.
A lot of opportunities for camping between here and there. But Toyota had a great, just a fantastic display. I mean, probably probably second only to Ford in size. Mm-hmm.
Because they also had the new Tundra, which is a
big deal. Big thing. Grill's so way too big.
A lot of Tundras there to display. But there was another Toyota there that stole your heart.
So they had a, you know, at this point, just a concept, but it'd be stupid if they didn't do this. Mm-hmm. A Targa Supra. Now, I don't think they were calling it the Targa. It had some other name, of course. Mm-hmm. I think Targa is a Porsche thing. But it was white. It had some sort of aftermarket wheels, but it was pretty standard. Yeah. But it was a Targa, so it had that top panel removed, and it had sort of a blood red leather interior.
Yeah.
It looked great. Like in the same way that a 911 Targa just looks great. Mm-hmm. Like it, you know, especially with the top off, it just, there's something about that shape. And it sort of breaks up. I think what I think the in the standard, the hardtop super, which is the only one they sell right now, there's not much of a greenhouse, right? This opens it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Man, put a stick in that, and maybe I would actually consider buying that car. Hmm. I mean, it's a little overwrought for my taste, right? Just the Supra in general, but man, it looked good. And
the Supra for me is definitely one that it still looks odd to me in photos, and that it has more presence in real life. Yeah.
It looks, I mean, I always thought when I had my base came in, it looked way more aggressive. Mm-hmm. Maybe not so much the GT4, but it really has an aggressive look to it.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Tacozilla. I mean, they hit that one out of the park.
Yeah. That's all over social media. My dad, who I don't think he does anything. He knew about that, and he was asking
me about
it.
Yeah, well, we had it on our Instagram two, three days before. I think even Motor Trend. And now you know. But, you know, and really think about it, I think it was all probably a custom build, but, you know, mostly it was an appearance thing, right? And
yeah,
I don't know. It just worked. And isn't it funny, of all the stuff that was there, I probably saw, and you two probably saw more pictures of that than anything else there. Mm-hmm. It was incredible.
Yeah.
God.
There was also some cool things at the, I mean, we talked about how it was a great Ford display. They had the new F-150 Lightning that was getting a lot of attention, even though that was more up on a display, so you couldn't really get around it too much. But a lot of interesting things on that.
And Jeep had a great display.
Yeah.
One of the most interesting things, and I didn't even pick up on it at the show, but they have, it's called the Magneto or Magneto or however it's pronounced. It's one of the two, Deck. So an electric Wrangler, which, okay, that's cool. But what I found out later is it's a manual transmission. Mm. We've talked about this. Where are the manual transmission electric cars? We know that's not a necessity. I mean, it doesn't necessarily lend itself a manual transmission to an electric
is that vehicle. Is it a hybrid or
No, it's electric? I believe it's a pure electric. It's a concept car only at this point. And I want to talk to someone from Jeep. I want to know how that works, just functionally how that works. But a lot of people are, you know, and a lot of people are excited about it. And I think we talked about this going in too, how, you know, the world is changing, cars are changing. This, I think, SEMA traditionally has been not particularly electric friendly.
Yeah.
But this year, there was a lot of electric stuff. People seemed amenable to it. People seemed open to it. You know, at the end of the day, if it gets you more performance, if it gets you whatever, I mean, people aren't going to poo-poo it. And there were people who just didn't seem, I can probably guarantee you don't drive Teslas at home, right? Who were looking at some of these electric cars and very interested.
Well, I would say that one thing I noticed that I think is intriguing, there was a booth I was at where they had done a full resto mod on a Bronco, an old Bronco, not one of the new ones.
Yeah.
It was sort of a kind of a sky blue color, full convertible top, lifted,
but
electric. And it had a full electric powertrain to it. Now, to me, one of those sort of old vintage 4x4s, that being turned into an electric car, that to me is a good experience. Yeah, I think I could do.
Yeah. A vehicle not known for its engine in any way, even back in the day, it was kind of a dog.
Yeah.
Now, there were some electrified, you know, vintage 911s, and I had more mixed feelings about those.
Yeah, yeah.
There were a couple that were really done well. I posted one to my Instagram. It was a red one, and I should have written down the name of the firm that did it. Really, really a high-quality conversion.
But some of these old classic cars, the ones that just really look cool.
Yeah,
I think it's
right. If they're cruisers, if they're not known for their engine note, if they're not known for the, you know, and that's a lot of cars. Not every car has a flat six, you know.
Yeah, I those types of things, like the you know, those sort of big lumpy sort of American Detroit V8s. It's like they're not the high performance V8s, so I don't think we're missing much on anything. You make it more reliable, more useful,
especially when you had like a two or three speed. Transmission at first. I mean, you know, there's really nowhere to go but up. So I'm with you. That kind of stuff didn't really bother me.
And no, I liked it.
You know, I think, wasn't it Neil Young who was really one of the first people who took like an old hot rod, and I can't remember the name of it. It was an old Cadillac or something. And then he had, and this was 10 or 15 years ago, you know, it was all electric or whatever. Well, I guess old Neil was right, because we saw a lot of that. That was definitely a trend, and people seemed cool with it. And, I guess there's just like there was room for everyone at this event. There's plenty of room in this. You can slice this pie many ways, right? And you're not taking too much away from other things. I mean, there are plenty of gasoline powered cars. I'm not a big electric car guy, but there were some electric cars done right, and to me that's where it made sense. Cars that didn't really, again, you're not missing anything by not having the original engine. Would you do it to a you know, an old 300 SL? No, but
no. Yeah, no,
and again, 9/11s, I'm not so sure, but
I wouldn't do it to a 9/11
either. I wouldn't either, so, but you know, but the ones that were there were really done well. Mm-hmm. Moving on, what else do we see that caught? I mean, we got some great photos. I mean, check our Instagram. There's amazing stuff.
I was in love with the Super Performance booth. That's
yeah, the guys they were front and center, right? You walked right in. They do the four GT homages,
GT40s, and then Cobras. Yeah, mostly
Cobras.
And they're doing, it looks like they're doing mostly like a 427. You know, wide body 420 Cobra. Yeah. So, yeah.
But
some of them done
great
really
quality.
Well.
Yeah. You know, there was a Golf livery up front that was getting a lot of attention. That's one I posted to Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to bring mine up. You keep talking.
Yeah. So they had one that was done up like the, sort of like the John Weir Golf racing team from Le Mans. And then next to it was one done up exactly like what Ken Miles would have raced at Daytona the year that they, that they won and beat Ferrari Ford v Ferrari fame. So those were done and they had like nice vintage pieces on them, which I liked. I would want, if I was building one of those, I would want it to look like one of the old historic famous
something
ones.
You can drive, right? Like
you can drive.
So I posted that number six looks really good. I was really impressed with the, and I'll probably butcher this name, the Arconic. It's a UK firm. They take Defenders, and they...
Oh, was that big green one?
Yeah,
that,
I posted that, and they you know, shout out to our friends there. I mean, they liked the post, connected, and they had a really, it was an emerald, a real deep green, beautiful. Yeah. You know, they
was
really
that
just
one,
bring
I,
them up
I didn't
to
get,
speed.
I meant to swing by and look at it. Was that a, just a, that wasn't an electrified version? That
no,
was
no,
a,
in fact, I don't think
just
they
a full
do,
resto
yeah,
mod.
I don't think they do electric. I could be wrong. You know, there was stuff just out and about, like we talked about. I mean, it's always fun to see a Harlequin Volkswagen, you know, I think they were Jettas and Golfs. I think this one was a Golf Rotiform.
I'd never seen a Golf one.
It was just Jettas, but this was a Golf, wasn't it?
The one we saw was a Golf, I don't know them well enough, but I only remember seeing the Jettas.
And who knows if, I mean, this could have been redone or whatever, but Rotiform, the wheel company, had a really interesting, I think they call it the milk crate wheel, and it looks like a milk crate.
Yeah.
They had some other really interesting cars there too.
I mean, that's the thing. You'd be walking around and you'd see all the stuff that were at booths that were part of like a company. But then they just had random, I think just, you know, regular people's cars were just on display randomly. I went around a corner to find a restroom and I found a really nicely modified 240Z.
Yeah. You saw an Ur Quattro
right next to it. Yeah.
I saw one of those on the street here. And I don't want to get too far off, but in the last 24 hours, Doug, I've seen four very interesting cars just in the neighborhood here.
Yeah.
Saw a Lancia Scorpion.
Yeah.
I saw
that's really unusual.
Something I had to look up, a DAF or DAF. It's a Dutch car. Mm-hmm. I think it was the 33. It was sort of like a little Trabant twin cylinder, just keeping up with traffic. I saw an Ur Quattro, and then today I saw a 308 GT4, sort of a beige over gold, kind of an odd combination, but that's a little aside.
Yeah.
But they had a great, I think it was Toyo tires, and maybe they were actually drifting this. We didn't see it being drifted, but an Ur UR Quattro, I don't know how you say that, but really beautiful.
And then they had two, were they both Ur Quattro Audis? They were really nicely done. They
I think
were,
so. Like, there was a modified gold one that you saw I missed. I feel like I missed
a red one. Yeah,
90% of the show. You saw stuff I didn't see, and vice
like
versa.
Like I said, I stayed for a couple of extra hours that day, just walking around. And then there was a second giant Toyo tires display that was, I think it was actually they were bringing in like people's modified cars. They had a separate display there. Most of the stuff I don't think you would be into. They had a giant Mercedes. Was it the 6x6?
I would have appreciated.
I thought you might have liked that. But then the one I think you would have liked, and I'll put it up on our Instagram page, is a modified, 80s, 90s BMW 7 Series, which never seen.
I'm into that.
Yeah, and it was modified. It was modified to almost look like if it was like a DTM racer, like it was in white with like the M Sport color.
That sounds
on
great.
It.
I just hope they kept the original car phone in the console. Speaking of white, you see the white F40?
Yeah.
There's an outfit called Bowden Auto House. I'm not familiar with them, or wasn't until I saw them. I put it on Instagram again. You know, I think my comment was they really do look good in white, and it looked great.
It did. And that was one that it was just in a random display outside. And you could tell as people were walking around not expecting, and then, oh, there's an F40
that can't
here.
Be real. That,
yeah, they're like, there's an F40
how
here.
About that Safari 914 that had been turned into a Hot Wheels car, the yellow one?
Yeah,
that was very cool.
Yeah, it was
cool.
Done by the Lifticult. Yeah, that was done for one of
their
shows.
This is
when
I wish we weren't doing a podcast. I wish we were on YouTube, too, because we could post these pictures.
Because we could show those pictures.
But just go check out my Instagram at Ryan Barkey, RyanBahrke.
Yeah.
At Instagram, or the Steering Committee Podcast Instagram, or
see a lot of these pictures.
Yeah, we've got them up.
On the steering committee one, like around the corner from the F40, there was a GR Yaris,
which again, I completely
just
missed.
Sitting, yeah,
they
just
don't sell
there.
Them here. Yeah, I haven't seen one. I know Doug DeMuro, he reviewed one. Someone brought one up from Baja California.
Yeah,
really,
Mexico.
Not the coolest looking car, but it's just special. It's basically a homologated,
It's
car in 2021, right?
It's a homologated rally car. And it's so different than a regular Yaris. I mean, it's almost like comical to even call it the Yaris.
Right. So, well, I think they show the doors or something, right?
Yeah.
How about the NSX Type S?
Yeah.
At the Acura, that was Acura display. Boy, it was kind of like what the NSX should have been. The new NSX should have been from the start.
Yeah.
That attracted a lot of attention.
Is the Type S, that was just recently announced,
I think,
right?
It's like the swan song.
The new NSX. Unfortunately. But is the NSX, had I read somewhere that it's rear wheel drive, or is that not right?
I don't know. It could be. I think it's got a little extra horsepower. It's more of a, I think, a design, it just
like
looks better.
Thing,
the front end is better. It's, again, it just looks right. Mm-hmm. I think the new NSX when it came out was just a little too Acura, current day Acura. Mm. This looks great. Got a lot of attention. And we're jumping around here, but I'm looking through my Instagram feed. I think we're both really impressed with the new Grand Wagoneer and I guess Grand Cherokee L. I'm trying to figure out those names.
Yeah, the one
beautiful interior.
The one we saw, I believe, was a Grand Cherokee L, which is slightly different than the Wagoneer.
It's not the full bore. It's got the different windows.
It's the Grand Wagoneer is a little bit bigger, a little bit even more. It's more luxurious, a little larger. Yeah. It's basically
well over $100,000.
Yeah, it's Jeep's competitor to like a Navigator.
I would take this over Navigator.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of Jeep, there was the sort of Discovery-esque, I should say, Land Rover-esque.
Yeah.
Three-row Wrangler.
Yeah, with the kind of that safari glass top.
I don't know if it's
back,
extended. Yeah. I don't think it's an extended wheelbase. I just think they sort of hang more off the back end.
Yeah.
But it was sort of a dark gold bronze color. Looked really great.
Yeah, kind of picture a Jeep and a Land Rover, having a baby.
It
looks kind of what this looked like.
I guess that's most of my pictures. I mean, there was a new 992 Turbo S with some wheels, but in Guards Red. I think the first one I'd seen in Guards Red in the flesh looked really great. Anyway, we've got lots of pictures. Oh, one last one I want to mention. The Jeep FC, the Forward Control that was outside. I think Rock Solid Performance is the outfit that did that. I think there were a couple different, but Rock Solid Performance is the one that's coming to mind. I saw they drove it to SEMA.
Oh, really?
And they stopped at this Roy's Diner that's like this art installation in the middle of, I think, Death Valley or whatever it is. But they drove that thing there. It's just got the tent on the back. I mean,
I appreciate that.
Those are so cool. I mean, they just look like old school, Tonka trucks or whatever. And I guess these are my standouts. I don't know if you have any more. We should take a quick break.
I'll do it. Just a couple more and then we'll take a break.
Please.
For our friend, Doyle, who was on the show way back.
Yeah,
They had a Jeepster that it was done up as like a beach cruiser type thing. It was one with the orange and interior, but I believe it was all new new Jeep Wrangler running gear. So it's the controls and everything
that.
The dashboard was all Jeep. So
I'm okay with that because that was not a car. It was known for everything but its engine and transmission probably originally.
So if you have something that runs and drives like a Wrangler but kind of looks like that cool throwback, I think that's awesome. Yeah. So there was a beautiful, and you put it up on your display, the 356 Porsche.
Yeah, that was a company called MP, which I think makes ignition systems or something. I probably have that way wrong. But it was this beautiful sort of metallic, what would you call it, gray-blue over a coral red interior.
With the wooden steering wheel and the white, it had white wall wheels on it. It just looked perfect.
I don't think they're white wheels. I don't mean to correct you, but I think it had bigger wheels done in the styles of the original. So it almost looked, I could be wrong, but it looked right, whatever they had going.
I'm looking at the picture, you're absolutely right. It's the wheels were white.
I don't want them to call and get upset.
I'm looking at the picture, you're right. Yeah, I mean, that was it. It was cool to see.
It was a great show. I'm so glad we went. And thank you, Swiss Tracks.
Yeah, they had a couple more, but I was going to say they had a it was, I think it was a mock-up. It's not a real car, but they had a like a full model display of the Red Bull, the current Red Bull Formula One car that was there.
I missed that, but
yeah. That was in the, that was actually in the Acura.
Well, you're more display, you see, yeah, like that. I probably walked right past it because just not being the F1 fan that you are.
So, well, and then the one last thing, this will be the one I end on. It was a vintage looking motorcycle, but that's fully electric.
What was so it called? Did you catch the name on it?
Electric Vehicle Company, I think was the, was the company.
I didn't
of it.
See
yeah,
that.
I have a, yeah, this is,
it was
a,
just, a oh yeah, that's so. It almost looks like an old like Indian or like a Harley from the teens.
Teens or early 20s. Yeah. It's like one of the real narrow looking motorcycles, but fully electric. But I think that would be kind of,
like
again,
half bicycle, but you but that's cool.
You could kind of feel like you're driving an old one, but you have all the convenience of it being electric.
And that's an electric motorcycle that would appeal to me. I don't need the equivalent of 150 horsepower on an electric motorcycle or whatever, but it was a fantastic show. Again, thank you, Swiss Tracks. Appreciate everything. And you know, it's so funny. Vegas, we never stepped foot on the strip. We never dropped a coin into a slot machine or sat down at a gaming table. It was
but you know what the highlight, the non-car highlight for me of the trip,
do
it
tell,
was dinner. Oh,
well, all right, let's come back to that. Let's cut it here. We'll come back, we'll talk dinner, we'll talk about another meal I had that didn't quite hit the spot like the dinner you're talking about. But
it's too bad, you should have just gone there again.
I know. But they had no more room. All right, we'll be back. All right, we're back. We alluded to a really good meal we had. Not a lot of good German restaurants in Denver, at least not that I found. And I came from Chicago, where we lived in a German neighborhood. There were several German restaurants. I used to hang out at a place called Ressi's. I've talked about it a million times. I hadn't had a good German food meal in a while. And I know it's a chain, but we went to the Hofbräuhaus in Vegas and had a really fantastic...
Yeah. I saw it when I was returning our rental car. I saw it on my Lyft ride back to the hotel, and I was like, ooh, I think maybe we should try this out, and had good reviews, and we just went out. It was exactly what I needed.
Yeah,
at the
point. I got a second wind. I had the schnitzel with spätzle and two giant steins of beer, and you had some sausages. And
yeah, I got like a sausage platter display. It was just perfect. So
someone listening can tell me. So one of the big thing there seems to be paddling people. Is that just Vegas, or is that at every Hofbräuhaus? Because I don't think there's anything particularly German about that, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
I feel like that's I've seen that at bachelor parties.
But not some.
But this was a woman going around trying to sell shots of whatever. I don't even.
I think it was Jägermeister.
Jägermeister. Yeah. It was, yeah. And then there was a table next to us that was all dudes, and she got.
I guess people
of them.
Eat that up.
they
were smacking the shit out of these people.
I know, it looked like it hurt. I don't know why. It's fun for all your friends making fun of you.
I guess if you're into that. That was the only weird thing about it, but it was a great.
Well, that's
meal.
What I say. Like I've seen it at bachelor parties where. You know, if you happen to be at a bachelor party that might have some adult entertainment component, that there's this thing about like, you know, you basically pressure the would-be bachelor into basically getting spanked like that. I think it's more fun for all the guys.
I guess
around,
so. We weren't nearly drunk enough that particular night.
No, that was not what I wanted. So
I had a less good meal. I think the last night I was there, the last day basically I stayed in the hotel room, and I was exhausted. I didn't need any more, and I was trying to order something from some delivery. I realized I was on a VPN on my laptop, so none of these orders were going through.
They're trying to deliver it to Toronto.
Right, basically, And so in the end, I was able to get, or I was sort of about ready to give up, and I got some Chick-fil-A. And, you think you're ordering a lot, 20 nuggets or whatever, you get there, and this, they're tiny, they're delicious. But, and then I went down to the lobby to get something to eat, to drink. And earlier in the day, they had a whole sort of cooler filled with beers and stuff, but there was sort of an impromptu gathering of dudes, SEMA dudes in the lobby there. And so they had basically cleaned out everything but the rosé wine. So,
oh, really? Oh.
Rosé wine and Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets just do not pair, Doug, not at all. So in case you're curious, if you can avoid it.
Munich old beer and brats definitely paired well together.
Yeah, that was delicious.
Rosé and Chick-fil-A does not pair well.
So okay. Anyway, listen.
So now you know.
Now when we go back to SEMA, we'll know exactly where to go, exactly what we need to see, exactly what we don't need to see. We'll have a better sense of things. But we've been talking. What we haven't done is given any shout-outs to our sponsors. So I'll give a quick shout-out to Swisstrax. Again, Swisstrax, thank you. It was great to finally meet you guys in person. Swisstrax, great product. Go to their website, swisstrax.com, and use our code STEER15, that's STEER15 at checkout, and you get 15% off your order. Also, Gooder.
Yeah, Gooder. We still love Gooder. You know, it was really sunny and bright there in Vegas, so I was glad I had
a lot of Gooders on people.
Yeah. And I was glad I had mine for the big outside display parts of the show. So, yeah, thank you to Gooder Sunglasses. Gooder's affordable polarized running sunglasses are no slip, no bounce, all polarized, and all fun. And if you use our code for Gooder, which is STEERING15, so STEERING, STEERING15, at checkout for 15% off your order at gooder.com. So again, STEERING15.
Yep.
So.
And then, of course, a shout out to our good friends, Bruise Beers here in Denver, bruisebeers.com. That's BRUZBEERS.com. Mm-hmm. It might have something brewing with Bruise Beers. More to come. But we could talk about SEMA all night, but I think we're pretty close to a full show here. Is there anything else we need to cover before we call it a night?
No, I don't think so.
Again, thank you, Swisstrax. Thank you, SEMA. I mean, SEMA delivered.
they
so
did.
So many jokes could make, but it was a great time. Met some really interesting people. Hopefully picked up a few listeners while we were there.
Hope so.
Perhaps a couple of guests. We'll see.
Stay tuned.
Doug was working it. So.
Stay tuned, yeah.
Yeah. So
working the crowd. So
thank you for listening. And until next time.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.